Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church, and Happy New Year! Happy New Year to everybody. Can you believe it's a new year? Like with every single new year, it's the best place to be to want to try to get as close to God and start out the new year right. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and let's confirm that together with a song called Yes, I Will. I count on one thing, the same God never fails, will not fail me now, you won't fail me now.
In the waiting, the same God is never late, is working all things out, you're working all things out.
Yes, I will.
Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will.
I count on one thing.
The same God never fails, will not fail me now. You won't fail me.
God is good all our days, amen.
Well, all your ways are good, all your ways are sure, and I will trust in you. Alone, higher than my sight, high above my life, I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you, I will follow you. Light into the world, light into my life, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Whom you love, I love. How you serve, I'll serve. If it's life I lose, I will follow.
Go ahead and have a seat. That is a good declarative statement. Yes, I will, and I will follow. The two go hand in hand. Start out your year. It's a directive. It's a challenge. Start out your year at the top of where you want to be this year. Start out there. Give yourself a chance to be where you need to be in this year. To be where God wants you to be in this year. Start today. He is good. His promises are forever. He is perfect in His love for you. Give Him a chance. Give Him a chance.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say. Nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Help me find the way.
Help me find the way. Bring me back to you.
And you're all I want.
Father God, help us know that you're here, that you are near, that you desire to know us, that you desire to be close to us, that you desire to heal us from everything that ails, from all of our afflictions. Draw us close to you, Father God, in this new year. Help us to just be in the center of your will, whatever that looks like for each one of us. If we're off to the side somewhere, spectators possibly, even looking in, that you have a perfect will for who we are living on this earth. Help us to draw close to that, get closer to the center line, and be in the center of who you need us to be today, this moment, this week, every hour, throughout our life. Draw close to us, especially when we can't draw close to you. There's something blocking. Draw close to us, Father God. Help us to extend a hand and know that you are there. We thank you, Lord, for this, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you, Lord, for these people and this worship. And we anticipate wonderful, beautiful things for 25. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. At this time, children, you are dismissed. And we're going to take a couple minutes just to greet one another. Well, good morning and welcome to Grace on this lovely morning. My name is Sheila and I am so grateful to welcome you all here today on this first Sunday of 2025. Woo, we made it. So Matthew keeps saying thrive in 25. So here we go, you guys. Let's thrive in 25. So that's apparently that's our theme at home for the year, which I think is a great one. Let's do it. So if you are new here, we're so grateful to have you. And if you haven't filled out a welcome card before, we'd love to get connected with you. There are some white cards in the back of the chair somewhere in front of you. And there's a welcome table in the back you can drop that off at later. But we're so grateful to have everyone here. So welcome to Grace this morning. I'd like to call Todd up now for an announcement.
Wow, it's bright up here. Good morning, everybody. My name's Todd Kuntz. We do have a outdoor adventures group here at church. Maybe you haven't heard of it, but we live in this beautiful area here. There's so much opportunity to get outdoors, enjoy yourself, hiking, biking, fishing, snowshoeing, mountain climbing, you name it, we can do it in this area. So if you're into that kind of stuff, if you're interested in doing that or doing more of that, and especially if you'd like to do it with other believers, this is a great thing to do. So there's the app. If you go to the Church Center app, look under groups, more groups, groups, unique groups. Then there's the outdoor adventure group. You can ask to sign up. A little window will pop up. You can just put in some information about what you like to do, what you're interested in. I will be posting some events coming up for the next couple months that we can do. There's more instructions here in the newsletter this month if you need more information. So hope to see you out there. Thanks.
Thank you, Todd. That's exciting. So unique groups. So if you need help, please ask. So if you're like, what was it that we need to hit on there? So please ask about that. So that's exciting. Today after church, and I just want to say the Christmas decorations were so lovely this year. So thank you for everyone that was a part of doing that and putting those up. I think, did you head it again? Did you head it this year, the t-shirt? Or was that, yeah. So, She had lots of help, but thank you for continuing. It's been lovely, so thank you. If you have any time right after church today, we are taking decorations down. If we have a good group of people, we can do it quickly. So if you're able to stay for just a little bit, that would be wonderful. Caleb would really appreciate any help joining with a group there. So right after church today. And then there are some different ways to give here at Grace. There's a box in the back before and after the service. You've got some apps you can find on your bulletin here. There's ways to give. But thank you for just continuing to give to support ministries and just support our church here. So we're so grateful for how you give. One more thing I want to mention before we go to prayer is this next Sunday, or actually this next weekend, Matthew and there's a whole group of kids going with the NAS Church to Hume Lake Camp. So junior hires are this next. So Matthew is to go with a group. I think we have, from our youth group here, I want to say there's maybe 7 or 8 kids going to that to Hume this next weekend. So Matthew will be a part of that along with the NAS. So if you would just keep them in prayer. It's such a wonderful weekend and just a great way to draw near to the Lord for these kids. And so that's next weekend. I go the next weekend after that with the high schoolers. So we're splitting up our ways and going, but it's really exciting. So if you would just keep them in prayer and greatly anticipating what the Lord has to meet them there. So very exciting. And then our normal youth activities will start after we get past the 2 Hume weekends. So more to come on that. But would you just join me in prayer? Lord, thank you just for this beautiful day and just another day of life to walk with you. And may we remember you, Lord, as we walk in our day and just you are with us. And what a gift that is. And Lord, I do pray for each of the youth going here from Grace and from the NAS and from the Call and all the other churches around the area to Hume this next weekend. Father, thank you just for that you are preparing the way for these students and preparing their hearts and just the speakers and the music. And I do pray just for safety driving for Matthew and the other drivers and just for great connection in the cabins. And Lord, I just pray, we know you will, but I just anticipate greatly how you will meet these students, Lord. And we just thank you just for life in you today. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. So last week, I said that we would end our year 2024 with a doxology and that we would begin this year with the doxology. So if we can stand, if you're able, let's give this song the respect it deserves. God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Please be seated. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, worship team. This is a great way to complete our year and begin it, recognizing God's role in our lives and our response by praising Him along with all creation. And so it's exciting. Yes, 2025 is here. How many people like thinking about, you know, your life in terms of, you know, these moments of, this is a brand new year, new start, new goals? I mean, is that you like, yes, new year, I'm looking forward to it? How many people, this is just another day, just another day? Yeah, a lot of us. I tell you what, I am a goal-oriented person. I love creating new goals. And two times a year, I do it around the first. And I'm working hard on them right now. And it just brings me great joy to have a plan and then create a strategy toward that plan. I can measure whether I'm making progress or not. It makes me excited. And then at my birthday in September, I do the same thing. I evaluate, you know, where am I doing with my life? You know, those hard questions you ask yourself every year, at least I do, on my birthday. And where are the things that are absolutely a blessing in my life? And I could just praise God for those things, as well as consider those things that, man, Mark, you need to pay attention to this stuff. You need to grow in this particular area. What does that look like? So these, a couple of times a year, are reference points for me to do that, to evaluate where am I, headed, how am I going to get there, all those things. And so I'm really grateful for that. So I love the passing of a new year. And as we think about what is to come, oftentimes by this time I have a really great idea about, you know, this is the message series we're going to do, this is the book we're going to be studying, and I have some really good ideas along those lines, except the Lord really hasn't pressed on my heart like, this is the way. And so I'm trying to pay attention to that. And so this morning we're going to do another one of those messages, like, this kind of stands alone, but it kind of becomes a part of a greater series that I'm navigating with regard to the idea of increasing my capacity for experiencing joy. So even though it feels a little self-serving, I hope that it's also beneficial to us as a congregation as we kind of shepherd our hearts. And so let's stop and ask God for His leading this morning as we navigate that together. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for how You are so well acquainted with all the areas of our hearts and our life circumstances. And so, God, we invite You in to this space this morning. Each of us are here representing different life experiences, seasons of life, circumstances that are exciting and good, and circumstances that are hard and perhaps sorrowful. God, we invite You to this space. And by Your Holy Spirit, we pray You would speak to our hearts in a deep way that we may understand just a little bit more about Your love for us and how You intend for us a great capacity for joy. God, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning, my purpose, as I was studying out this message in particular, has had many ideas and thoughts behind it. What do I bring to this space? And the thing that seemed most resonant for me is to kind of invite you into a little bit of my space. Because I think it's important once in a while to pull back the curtain. What you see normally on a Sunday morning is we're studying the scriptures together, and I have a particular role to explain and disciple from this perspective, which is a limited perspective. I'm just one person, you know, talking, and you're listening for the most part. But we acknowledge that for what it is, right? And one of my greatest joys is walking away from Sunday to Sunday. Did I encourage people? Did I help people understand God, who God is, more deeply? Did the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts in a unique way? And so lots of times that also speaks to my own heart, and there's never a Sunday that I'm not personally engaged. But you have to know that on any given Sunday, I have a role, and I'm paid to do this, to get up here and present the Word of God, present the truth of God's Word. And that truth may be completely resonating in my heart, and there are Sundays where that truth, I'm speaking it because I believe it, but it's not really resonating in my heart. And I want you to know that it's important to recognize that all of us as human beings have highs and lows. Sometimes we navigate life by putting on a game face and a smile. We got to show up to work. We got to parent. We got to be a husband or a wife. We got to do the things of life. And these things that are more heavy in our heart are also there and present sometimes. And so this morning, I just want to talk a little bit more, if we could just pull back the curtain a little bit and just be a little more vulnerable. I'm coming through a season of things have been hard, and my heart has been heavy. And I am like, wow, God, so what do you want me to teach? My heart wasn't even in, I feel like an imposter sometimes when you stand up and you're like, boy, God is good, and you're struggling with that statement on a very personal level. I know that many of you probably have experienced that before. You're in faith, believing, but you're also struggling a little bit with, dare I say, unbelief, inexperience. So, not to unravel anybody's, I'm not quitting, I'm not making some crazy announcement, so you can take that off the table. But I think it's really helpful sometimes to talk about things that I think are really helpful to me as I navigate a heavy heart. And I'm so grateful. I feel like the clouds are a bit parting in recent days, and feeling like, okay, Lord, I'm coming out of that season. And so this morning, this is where this title is coming from. Lord, be my shepherd today, right where I'm at today. Whatever I'm experiencing, whatever I'm facing, Lord, I recognize you are my shepherd. You're right here with me. You're shepherding my heart in this process. And I want to acknowledge the great capacity for human emotion that God has given us. He himself has these amazing emotions that are full and robust. And he's given us, who are created in his image, all of those, that same capacity for experiencing very great highs and joys and triumphs and laughter and good things, satisfaction, contentment, happiness, as well as appropriate emotions of sadness and anger and a sense of injustice and depression. We experience that when we have sadness over a longer period of time, or fear or anxiety. These are all part of our human experience that we have to understand that God not only created us with this great, robust ability to have experience all these emotions, he knows those emotions. He is with us in those emotions. And so this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about that more fully. So to connect this with our greater vision, so our vision as a church, and this is something we're going to unpack a little bit in a greater ways in down the road, in not too far distant future. This vision statement of our church that our elders are just praying over and discussing out, and what do we mean by this? It simply states this: we are seeking to be a community of generous lovers of God and others as wholehearted disciples of Jesus. And there's so much to be said about this statement, but what the word I want to kind of hone in a little bit on this morning is wholehearted. One of the values you'll probably, if you've been with us any period of time, values that we hold at Grace is that we want to disciple people toward both spiritual and emotional maturity. I think we get a handle on spiritual maturity. I mean, we understand our relationship with God and deepen our understanding of who God is and is deepened in his scriptures. It's the hallmark of evangelicalism, of understanding God's word and knowing God deeply in real terms and real words. But it's also important for us, if we're going to seek to be mature lovers, generous lovers of God and one another, is not to neglect part of our heart, which sometimes gets a little underdeveloped, and that is our emotional capacity. What do we do? And because it affects our relationships with one another, how much of our heart we have available for one another to not just enjoy the goodness of close, intimate relationships, and how we encourage one another and pray for each other and support one another, all those wonderful things that are much a part of the body of Christ. But equally a part of the body of Christ is when we have a diversity of opinion among us, and that creates some tension sometimes. We're sometimes not good at navigating tension when we don't all feel the same way about something, particularly when we feel strongly about that thing. So a part of our emotional maturity is developing those skills, developing this capacity for, I have a point of view, you have a point of view, let's talk about this in ways that I have greater capacity to handle that tension emotionally. Also, how we navigate the highs and lows of life. And I want to be wholehearted and not just neglect some part of my life where it's the bad things, the hard things, the things I don't really like to feel. So I'd rather just avoid those. And sometimes we can do it in an over-spiritualized way by just saying, you know what, my life's a shambles, but God is good. God's good. You know, I've got joy. While that can be a true statement of Christianity, sometimes I believe, at least in my own experience, by turning down at best and turning off at worst, parts of my life experience, my heart that I deeply feel, is undermining my emotional capacity for the full, multifaceted, generous, wholehearted life that God wants for me. And so I've worked hard in recent years in particular to make sure I am not only living out an emotionally and spiritually mature life, but I'm continually pushing at those boundaries of what is it, increasing my capacity. I want to grow in my ability to be a wholehearted disciple, to be generous in how I love people and how I love God. I want to experience that fully. So this is a part of that process, okay? And so what we're honing in on in particular this morning is this idea of shepherding our emotions. This is something that God feels deeply about. He writes a lot about this in Scripture. Not that we experience emotions. I mean, yes, all of us experience, but the wisdom and the maturity is, how do we shepherd those emotions? What do we do with them? Particularly those emotions we don't want to feel. We don't like feeling. They're uncomfortable feeling. How do we navigate that? The Bible helps us, calls us to shepherd those things. So let's look at Jesus' words when he's in the upper room with his disciples and he's just told them, hey, I'm leaving you. And so he says this to them, I'm going to go away for a time, but let not your hearts be troubled. Keep the faith, basically saying, believe in God, believe also in me. He goes on to say, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I love this opening statement, this implication, let not your hearts be troubled, which implies we have a capacity to govern or shepherd our feelings. There's a potential in our circumstances because Jesus is going to be about to be crucified and buried dead. Their hearts are going to experience tremendous sorrow, fear. It's like, what do we do to potential hopelessness? You know, what is going on? And he's kind of encapsulating this. You're about to experience some deep trouble. He says, govern your heart, shepherd your heart. Let not your heart be troubled. How do you do that? How do you shepherd when you're experiencing some real life hard things? What is Jesus getting at here? Let's keep moving forward. Same chapter. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you some information here. I will come to you that in a little while the world will see me no more. Speaking of his death, his burial, and future resurrection. The disciples are having a hard time wrap their mind around this in this moment. They'll see it very clearly in hindsight. But here's Jesus' words. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Because I live, you also will live. And I think this is more, I mean, this is kind of an enigmatic way of saying, it's like, what are you getting at? Are you saying I'm going to have a greater capacity to live in this life? Are you talking about eternal life, that I shouldn't fear death, that you have overcome death by being raised, so I have this hope? I think the answer is yes. It's all of those things. But Jesus, typical of his teaching, he says some words that just, he's desiring us to think about it. It's like, what do you mean by that? And we think deeply on it. I love this and how he says it. And further on in the same conversation, he says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So this is a supernatural thing that God helps us with, our ability to shepherd our emotional experience, though our circumstance sometimes can be really hard. He goes, I'm going to give you a peace. Let not your hearts be troubled. He makes a statement again. Neither let them be afraid. Let your heart be afraid. Keep in mind, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to come back. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you an ability to endure. I'm going to give you a capacity to have a greater perspective than just what on earth just happened. Our earthly perspective. He says, I'm going to give you, I'm going to expand your mind in a way that not everybody can understand because they don't have a godly perspective, that there's a God in charge, that things are going to work out, that there's a plan involved with all this. Right? All of this, I think, is implied in Jesus' statements here and further developed in the New Testament. Paul says it this way, the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. This word governed, I would swap out as being a synonym of shepherd. The mind shepherded, or the heart shepherded by the mind shepherded by the Spirit is life and peace. We're inviting God in to help us to navigate the highs and lows of our heart. And how do we do this? How do we make these statements? Here's before I jump into that thought, I was thinking, even the opening song, we really hold to this, right? We sing about it. Our opening song this morning, here's the words of the chorus. Yes, I will. Choice, governing. I'm shepherding my perspective here. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Now, what do we? That's an interesting thing, right? I'm experiencing some really hard things that are affecting me profoundly, but yet I will lift you high. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. How do we do that? How do we navigate? How do we shepherd our emotions when our heart is heavy? Can we sing authentically for joy, blessing the Lord? The Bible says yes. The Holy Spirit says yes. Jesus says yes. I have this for you. So what does this look like? How do we do this? How do we accomplish this? How does the Bible tell us? Let me just give you another perspective. And I love this because I always talk about the Psalms. It's been said, and who this is attested to is different people. I'll choose probably the most prominent. Athanasius said this. If most of the Bible speaks to us, the Psalms speak for us. The perspective of the psalmist is speaking very human thoughts and attributing them to this process of God working out his things in that person's life. And the psalmist will be, on the one moment, saying these really high highs, and other moment, the psalmists are crying out in laments. I love the diversity because read through the Psalms, I can find something that fits what I'm experiencing that in particular morning or day. So here's an example of this. In Psalm 42, which is a psalm of lament, a psalmist is in a rough spot. He's crying out to God. And I'm going to say the psalmist is, the Psalms are speaking for us in helping us to say, here could be a perspective that would be helpful to us. So here's the perspective that you might identify with. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? That's not a memory verse we teach our children to say, God, why have you forgotten me? Yet it is one that the Bible says this is a legitimate prayer that from our human perspective that we're going to feel. God wants us to honor what we are actually feeling. I feel oppressed. I feel like, God, you're gone. My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all the day long, where is your God? I've felt that. I don't talk about it much because it doesn't sound very Christian. It doesn't sound very pastoral, right? But I can identify with the psalmist here in this low. But in the very same psalm, see, watch how the psalmist governs or shepherds his own heart here. Two verses later, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Sounds a lot like the song we sang this morning, my Savior and my God. This is an example of someone who's going through a deeply troubling time, feeling it in their bones, in their God, I'm saying, God, I feel like you're absent. The people around me feel like they've won, and they're pointing out, where's your God? They're taunting me, mocking me, and I feel it deeply, yet I will praise you. I'm going to do this self-talk to my own heart, my own mind, my own emotions. Hey, it's okay. Place your hope in God, yet will I praise him. So you see how this works? So my goal this morning is this. I'm going to lay out five strategies for shepherding our emotions. There's so many strategies. Five is just scratching the surface. But I think these are very helpful. And these are the ones that I have been using a lot in the last few weeks. And let me just say this. This is one of the things I know about my own heart because I've been shepherding my heart for a long time, is that at the end of the year, there's a lot going on if you are in ministry. There's a lot of extra services, a lot of extra community events, a lot of extra family gatherings, and it's a culmination of an entire year in some perspectives of all the things that you've done. There's a lot of anticipation about Christmas, and so your heart really swells with all the good, wonderful things you get to experience at Christmas, but also because of that anticipation, that increased emotional load, if you will, my heart also often kind of has there's an ebb and flow, like breathing in and out, a part where it kind of gets overwhelmed and I kind of fall back to a place of deficit in my emotional well-being. And I don't look at the holiday season like, it's coming, I know it's going to happen. But when it does happen, I'm aware of it. I've been here before. I've navigated this before. I know that sometimes at the end of the year, my heart is full, and then there's kind of this letdown. And I'm like, ugh. And I kind of prone toward sadness, depression. When it gets bad, I get a lot of anxiety. I start doubting my own life, my calling, you know, and when it gets, you know, those bad moments. And how do I navigate those things? And here's my strategies. Here's the ones I've been walking through last several weeks. And so if you have a Bible or your notes there, you can jot this stuff down in your bulletin. I'm going to give you some passages that are helpful that I think are relevant to some of these strategies. And number one is this. I think it's important, first of all, first and foremost, to give space to our emotions. This was not my strategy for a lot of years in my life. Being a guy and being wanting to be, you know, this what my culture deemed masculine and stuff, part of that was being tough, not having a lot of emotions, not showing a lot of emotion, kind of being kind of stalwart in most things, like, yep, we're just going to do this. We're going to push through. This is what we do. We toughen up, you know. And that can be helpful at times. But for the most part, I was neglecting a part of my heart that as it grew and grew in the need for to be addressed, my facade of toughness was being revealed to me that This isn't it. This is a strategy, but it's not your best strategy, and it's not the only strategy. Mark, you need to expand your ability to figure out how to deal with some of the hard things that you're experiencing, that your heart is telling you. It kind of felt like a tea kettle on a stove, and the boiling point's coming up, and somehow the spout, which normally has a release point for steam, is you put a cork in that thing. And as that tea kettle gets hotter and hotter, and the pressure builds in there, that's what it felt, was feeling like in my life. And once in a while, when really traumatic or significant thing happened, it just blows that cork off. And it's like, what do I do with all that steam that's just blown off everywhere? My life is at a really hard moment. As hard as I can, I'm thinking about particular moments in my life a number of years ago that was like blowing off that cork. And as hard as that was, I'm so grateful that I understood that I needed to expand my ability to shepherd my heart. And number one was this: I had no idea how to make space for emotions that I did not like feeling. Any negative or hard emotion, I would deny, distract myself. I pursued different coping mechanisms to help me forget about it, shove it down. I would numb out from feeling them. And those strategies worked for a little bit. But when real struggles hit and blew the cork off, I had no idea what I was doing, what I was feeling. And so it's really helpful, first of all, in developing space for these emotions is to acknowledge that hard, and I've said this many times, emotions aren't bad. They just feel bad. And I used to say it that way. I would rather qualify it now. Hard emotions aren't bad. They just feel bad. They're actually gifts from God for us to feel. And we need to give space for those emotions. And it was helpful for me because I had zero vocabulary for my emotions to begin to do research and study what do these emotions feel like. What am I feeling right now? When I get an emotion that feels, I can feel it in my head versus an emotion I can feel in my chest, I sometimes feel tightness. But then there's things that make me feel like I'm about to explode. Sometimes there's an emotion that comes up like a wave on the shore and it crashes. I'm learning language to describe what those feelings are and naming those as, you know, blanket statements like anger, sadness, grief. But you can nuance it even more by understanding the difference between anger and a subcontext of that as just being frustrated or grief or loss and just, and more nuanced, a disappointment. I hated being disappointed. I would try to lower my expectations of anything because I dreaded being disappointed. I didn't know what to do with disappointment. Now I have a greater capacity for disappointment. Oh, yeah. I am so disappointed. Oh, I am so sad. My heart is broken over this. I have a greater language for what I'm feeling. I can actually use words to describe what I'm feeling in my body. And it doesn't feel threatening to me nearly as much as it used to. I don't like it. No one likes feeling sad, right? Or angry, or frustrated, or disappointed, or have resentment. But I see the value of owning these things and understanding them because I know now what to do with them. Maybe a direction to go to help resolve, maybe. Maybe this thing I'm feeling in my body is giving me direction with maybe a relationship that's not in a good place, or a perspective of God, or a perspective of my circumstance that may not be helpful to me. My emotions help me understand it, right? So we don't want, let me just say this, as we begin to delve in, because this can be scary ground, particularly if you're like, I escape, medicate, numb, don't like any kind of bad emotions, I'm going to deny them, whatever. If this is new territory for you, let me just say this. Increasing your capacity for those hard emotions and beginning to name them can feel like, initially especially, like you're letting emotions drive the bus. And there's no way I want that to be a part of my life, right? So I have an all or nothing mindset. So if that feels like my emotions are going to drive the bus, well, then I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to go there. But this is what I'm talking about. This is why I named this shepherding our emotions, where we give space for them, name them, but we don't let them drive the bus. We allow space for them. feel them because they're God's way of speaking to us deeply about our circumstances, about our relationships, and so on. All right, that's number one, give space. Number two is how we shepherd our emotions is invite Jesus into our emotions. God created us this way, and he feels these things too. And Jesus promised, I will be with you, I will be in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Jesus says, apart from me, you can't do anything. Abide in me, I in you. He wants this intimate relationship with us, and in those circumstances we want that are hard, he wants us to know he is right there with us. This is why I love a psalm that I often meditate on because it's an easy psalm to memorize. It's only 6 verses long. And there's so many aspects of it that speak to different aspects of life. You know, you have the opening, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I don't have any need of anything. He's leading me beside quiet waters and green pastures. He's restoring my soul. I mean, if that were all Psalm 23, I could go that way all day long. I love the first 3 verses of Psalm 23. It feels like contentment and satisfaction, goodness, the shepherd's right there with me, and God's my shepherd. But that's not all of Psalm 23, right? That's a good aspect of it, one I love meditating on. But also, verse 4, when it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's a hard thing. I don't like going through valleys in my emotional experience or my life experience, particularly ones that feel like the shadow of death is right there with me. Jesus said, or the psalmist writes, and God being our shepherd is like, I'm not going to fear any evil in that moment. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid. God is my shepherd. Right there in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, comfort my troubled heart. The psalmist is not saying, don't have a troubled heart. He's saying, here's how you shepherd your troubled heart. Invite Jesus in. So the next verse 5, here's the one that I've been really dwelling on the last couple of weeks that just is blowing my mind. I can't tell you all the nuances of it, but I'll tell you where I'm at with it. And that is this. You set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God, who is my shepherd, is setting a table. And I associate that with good things. Enjoyment, feasting. In fact, he attaches it even further to good feasting celebration almost. My cup overflows. There, you anoint my head with oil. These are all associations with celebration and healing and goodness and happiness but you've set that table in the presence of my enemies. That is an enigmatic, hard to understand. God, what are you doing here? And this is what where the battle, me personally, has been. So I brought my journal up here. I just want to read a couple of entries just again. Just you pulling back the curtain a little bit to my employing these strategies, inviting Jesus into this space, and I'm seeing him, okay, you're my good shepherd. Jesus himself says, I am the good shepherd. I'm laying my life down for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I call to them, and they come. Because I am the door. I'm the gatekeeper. You can come in and out of this to find good pasture, because I am a part of you. I have come that you might have life. But the enemy, the thief, he has come that to kill and to steal and to destroy, right? Jesus saying, I'm the good shepherd. I'm right there with you. You don't have to fear. So this idea and this table being set while my enemy is present. A couple of reflections. I'm just reading, this is part of a journal entry. But this is how I'm processing it out. God anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. This can be my experience even in the presence of an enemy. Lord, come into my wounds and traumas. Bring your love, comfort, and healing. Speak truth to my heart that is overwhelmed by fear at times. Anoint my head with the oil of your Holy Spirit. Renew my mind with the mind of Christ. I receive you. I invite you, welcome you. You know my heart. You have experienced everything that I have experienced. Thank you for your presence with me now. It's just 1 second of me crying out to the Lord. I need you here with me. Though I'm experienced, I don't understand why you've set a table here and invited my enemy. So what do I mean by enemy? I journaled a couple of days later. I was reflecting on that because I just kept doing the Psalm 23 meditation and trying to invite Jesus into this process. This is a few days later. Jesus sets a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil, causes my cup to overflow. I must embrace this reality by faith. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. An enemy is an active agent plotting harm against me. My enemy is in my head, gaslighting me, taunting me, criticizing me, mocking me. My body responds to this unreasonable tyrant by triggering a fear response. Cortisol floods my brain and I feel a tightness in my chest. I sometimes feel sick to my stomach. A shadow takes up residence in my mind and darkens my perception. Jesus proclaims, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they run to me. My presence and voice declares liberty to the captive, sight to the blind, liberty to the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. These are words that help me to shepherd my emotions. I'm giving space to them, writing them, naming them when I'm feeling. And then I'm inviting Jesus in. Lord, I know this truth about you. Even though experientially I'm struggling. And I'm going to continue to invite you into this process. And for me, it's helpful. Psalm 23 is just one of those examples. There's so many. Maybe you have a favorite scripture that's helpful to you to navigate. How do you shepherd your heart when you're experiencing those things? Number two, invite Jesus into our emotions. Number three, trust that God is working all things for good. This is a perspective thing. Trusting the Lord. God is good. God loves me. God has a plan. Romans 8:28. God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called to his purpose. This verse is right in the middle of a chapter that discussing that I quoted earlier in the same chapter. Romans 8 is the chapter that says the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Same chapter. Also addressing these tribulations and difficulties and the frustrations of living out a life in a corrupt world. And this is this comfort. Okay, I trust you, Lord. You're working all things for the good. I don't understand it. I don't even know how to, another great gem of Romans chapter 8, I don't even know how to pray. Paul says, when you don't know how to pray, the Spirit of God can intercede for you with words that there's no words to be expressed. It's groanings of the heart. Sometimes I feel just my prayers are nothing more than groanings. And the Holy Spirit, according to the scriptures, interprets those groanings and transforms them into prayer. And in this process, okay, God, I'm just trusting you. I'm trusting you. You have a plan. It is good. I invited Jesus in. I'm putting my life into your hands afresh today. God is my shepherd today. I'm doing this right now. Do we trust that the Lord is good and that he has a plan? We trust that God is working all things for good. And remember, Romans 8 ends with, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. It gets a whole long list of things that we experience in life that are hard. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Great chapter of scripture you should read. Trust God. When I make a statement like this, and if you're going through a particularly hard time, how do you feel when you hear these scriptures? Do you feel pushback in your heart? That's okay. It's okay. Your heart is resonating with truth. And there is a struggle with God, how do I understand how to sit at a table that is for feasting while my enemy is present? I don't know. What does that mean today? But these are strategies of how we shepherd our emotions, our heart. Trust that God is working all things for good. Number four, we widen our perspective. So two things about this. One, what do I mean by this? Number one is, one way to widen our perspective is the example I gave there, and I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, how we practice gratitude. Instead of just focusing in on the things that I don't like or the things that are out of place in my life, this broken relationship or this circumstance or this hard diagnosis or whatever it is, my hard thing that's really giving me trouble, sometimes we can over-focus on that thing. And it just grows and grows and grows in us, expands. We're letting our emotions run away and become the bus driver. How to shepherd that is to broaden the perspective by recognizing that there are also very good things in my life. Don't overly focus on that thing that's giving you trouble. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then in Peter writes in chapter 4 that we should bring our requests to God with thanksgiving. And then the peace of God, which surpasses our ability to kind of rationalize this out, will guard our minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. When we bring thanksgiving in, it broadens our perspective. When we begin to think, okay, there is good in my life. I'm going to name those good things. I'm going to broaden my perspective by focusing not just on the trouble, but focusing on the greater perspective of there are good things in my life. I need to celebrate. I can eat. I can feast at this table, though there's an enemy present. I can still feast. I can sing for joy in the lowest valley. I can bless your name. I can sing for joy when my heart is heavy. That is feasting at a table when your enemy is present. And God, somehow, in his great plan, has set this table for us. That's hard. Widen our perspective. Practice attitude. The second point of this is how we widen our perspective is invite someone else into what you're feeling. I had a hard time sharing these emotions with anybody. I felt I wasn't mature, or I would look down upon that I wasn't mature as a person, wasn't spiritually mature, like you have a problem trusting God. And oftentimes when we do offer some of these hard things, our fears, our difficulties, people unwittingly try to help us by moving straight to advice. So it's important when we broaden our perspective by inviting someone else in the process is to be a very trusted relationship. You're about to express to them something really vulnerable about your heart. It's okay to say, this is what I need from you right now. I need to say this. Don't feel pressured to fix my problem. Don't feel pressure that to make me feel better. I just need someone to hear this and maybe just offer a word of comfort and understanding, and your willingness to sit with me, that takes a load off of someone who loves you and really wants you to experience happiness and goodness and joy, and maybe they have a limited capacity for your pain and your trouble. And so it's okay to say, hey, this is what I need right now. That's okay. But it's helpful to widen our perspective by inviting someone else who loves us and whom we trust into that process. It helps us to shepherd those good things, even though they don't feel good, those good things inside us that we need to feel. And lastly, this is a statement that was brought to me by an author named John Eldridge, who has written about it. And I mentioned last week the Pause app. It's a meditation app. And he uses it all the time in that app. This idea that I can detach from the current weight of my trouble by giving it to God, even for a moment. I struggled with this for a long time because I felt like I don't want to act like, you know, put my head in the sand as if this doesn't exist? How do I give it up to God? But I still, it's a really important thing in my life. This relationship that maybe is causing trouble, this is really important to me. How do I relinquish this to God, who is in control, who gives me all the strength that I need? God is my shepherd. I shall want for anything. How do I give it to him while maintaining that this is really important to me? This practice of benevolent, it's what it means, benevolent, I mean, it's like a kind act toward our heart. Our heart is heavy, it's weighted down, but I still need to parent. I still need to go to work. I still need to show up for people in my life. I can't let the emotions just drive the bus. How do I set them aside and move toward my day without feeling like I'm just completely checking out? How do I honor my emotions, but also set them aside somehow so I can do my day? Benevolent detachment. It's a kindness to our heart to say, God, you've got this. Capture my heart right where it is. You know where I'm at. I give it to you. But because my day is starting, I've got to move forward. I got to show up for my wife or my husband or my child or my boss or whatever it is. Lord, I'm going to trust you with this. I have to just relinquish it for now. I'm not going to ruminate on this anymore. I'm not going to dwell on this anymore. For the next hour, for the next minute, for a day. I don't know what that, sometimes we have to do this over and over, right? But it's a kindness to our heart to detach and just give it to the Lord, who in whose hands is strength and goodness and wisdom. He's caring for us. He's with us in that valley. He is setting a table of good things, though an enemy is present. And how Psalm 23 ends is, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love how that psalm ends. It kind of brings us to resolution. I can acknowledge the valley. I can acknowledge the fear. I'm going to invite Jesus into the process. I can see that there's this hard thing where there's this feast I'm supposed to enjoy while there's an enemy present. But I'm going to relinquish that to the Lord. And I'm going to say, yes, Jesus, I'm giving it to you. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because that is true. That is a promise of God on our behalf. We just have to claim it, live it, believe it. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. So, as we employ these strategies, we invite Jesus to shepherd us today. I love this. I'm a sucker for landscapes. That's why I hike in the mountains so much. This is a really real experience for me. I can picture myself there. You see that trail off to the right? It's smooth. It's slightly downhill. If you have a pack on your back, you enjoy the slightly downhill smooth trails. But notice the bigger picture. I mean, amazing as that view is, oftentimes, at the other end of that valley is where I'm going. This isn't me, by the way, but I've seen landscapes like this in person. And in all likelihood, you could get to the other end of that valley in a day. If you're pushing big miles in a day, you could get there. And you're going to experience a lot in the big picture, right? But zoom in on the hiker. That man or woman is about to turn a corner, and they have no idea what's around it. I love that about backpacking. It could be a hill that goes straight up. Maybe there's been a mudslide, and it hasn't been cleared, by anybody yet. And you're like, okay, how am I going to get? Or a tree is across the trail, and you're like, how am I going to get around that? I'm on a cliff, right? So I can't go. It's going to be hard to go up and down. How do I go through? I mean, this is a real life. You do some hiking. You've experienced that, right? And this is just such the picture, the image itself, such a metaphor for life. Lord, you are my shepherd today. Right now I'm experiencing maybe a wide, smooth path, but it's slightly downhill. I love that. I'm at this majestic view. Thank you, Lord. You're good. I turn the corner like, whoa, what just happened? I'm facing a giant climb. I thought I was going downhill. God, be my shepherd today, right where I'm at today. So to help us, we're going to end with a song, and I'm going to invite my bride, Martha, to come on up. I sound better when she's with me. And I'm going to invite you to stand if you're able. I love this song. It's not a new song, but it's a song that I often, one of my strategies also, but just not one easily accessed for everybody, is I worship. I grab my guitar and I worship. And I love this song. I've been using this song all week long to speak to my own heart and shepherd my own heart. And I want to invite us to sing it together.
It's who I am.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
Father God, we invite you in to every aspect of our lives, our highs and our lows. Lord, we trust you. And we give our lives to you afresh. You are good and you love us and we trust you. We believe. Help us in our unbelief. Lord, we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Grace and peace to you today.